About our service this morning, it's going to be a little bit differently. We gather on Sundays because it is the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. And we remember that and celebrate and worship that every single week. And sometimes, though, sometimes think time can go by and we're like, oh, resurrection. And then Easter hits and it's just this great big celebration again. And we're reminded once again of the impact of Jesus being raised from the dead. But sometimes then time goes on and we're like, oh, yeah, okay, so that's fine. But we thought, you know what? Resurrection isn't just something great and awesome, but it gets into people and it changes them. That we as a people who are a resurrection people, we have this life of ministry and mission we're called to. And so this morning's service is called Ministry in Light of the Resurrection. You will not hear from one of us pastors preaching this morning. You will hear from, I'm almost tempted to say regular folks. But you will hear from folks who have responded to the good news of Jesus and who have given their lives over to doing ministry that brings hope and new life and resurrection to people. So this morning is going to be a little bit differently, and our hope and our prayer is that not only will we as a congregation join in supporting these people who do this full-time, who have given their lives to it, but also that maybe in us, the Spirit will speak this morning and there will be a shoulder tap and you will hear, like some of they have heard, the call of God to do ministry in a new way. So that's how today's going to go. We will hear from some people, we will pray for them, we will sing, and we will repeat that a few times. So to start us off, we are going to read scripture. Sandra, would you come and read scripture for us?
Good morning. This morning we are reading from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 22 in the New Revised Standard Version. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced and they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to even the end of the age." The word of the Lord.
One of our folks is Charles Coop. Charles is used to be the pastor here, and then he went on to do some other things, and now he is a church planting coordinator for our conference. So he helps organize and gather people to think about starting new congregations in places. Unfortunately, Charles isn't able to be here this morning. There was a death, and his brother-in-law has died this last week. So he and Lorraine are on their way to Manitoba for that funeral. So he has asked that we would pray for their travels. But also, when I asked about how can we pray for church planting in our conference, he had three things he would ask us to pray. He said, pray that people would come. One of the things that Charles often says is that the harvest is great, but the workers are few. And so he often goes there when he shares his passion and his heart for church planting. So you can join in praying that people would be stirred up to joining in and starting new churches in our conference, that they would participate in this work. He said, secondly, you can pray for finances. It takes, our church plants are often dependent on our conference for a while. And so there's a financial burden there. And so that finances would come in, that we can be bold and courageous to to plant new churches. And then this is the third thing, that himself and other people on their conference, that they would be courageous, that they would have endurance and faith to see this through, even when it seems like there is little, that they would walk in faith and trust of what God is doing in them and through them as they connect with people and start new congregations, new places that speak and are gathered around the resurrection light of Jesus. Kevin.
Good morning. Just to clarify a couple of things, because I know some of you may know me by different names. I'm going to clarify that right now. The reason why you may have known me as Brown is because before Patty and myself got married, I was going to change my name back to Brown. I was born with the last name Brown in Children's Aid, Child and Family Services here. When I became Ward of the Crown, they changed my name to Hoffman because I had a whole bunch of different names from being in different places. So that's why when I first met Chris, I told Chris that we were going to change my name to Brown. But then due to circumstances, I'm just going to be going by Plett Hoffman. So Hoffman's my actual name, last name. But for most things, I am going by Plett Hoffman. So just to clarify my name so that it isn't as confusing. In saying that, I'm speaking. I've just started working with Youth Unlimited. As most of you know, Ivy also works with Youth Unlimited. Now, most of you know that she works with Streetlight and with the Strip Club Ministry. I won't be speaking that because I don't know much about that, because that's not the program that I'm working with and Youth Unlimited. So the program that I work with Youth Unlimited is called Youth Guidance. I'll start off with Youth Unlimited is devoted to bringing Christ's love to youth in Calgary and the surrounding areas. So part of this is the Youth Guidance. So what we do is we provide at-risk youth with mentorship and relational support through sports, after-school programs. The one after-school program that I'm quite active in right now is called the Doolum, which, if anyone knows, that was David's safe place. And it's a safe place where kids come in and we teach them about... we actually teach them about David a lot because... we have a lot of Muslim children, and they know the prophets in the Bible, Moses and David. So we kind of bring that in so that they have an understanding as well. So that's part of the ministry that I'm working with. Some of the things that are looking up is I've been looking at trying to get something going in the Abbeydale community as an after-school program, because I know a lot of the youth through working with Chris. I don't know where he went. Oh, he's right there. Working with Chris with the youth here through the church, and I've met a lot of the kids in the community, and with schools only half days on Fridays, I think it would work well to have some sort of a program that runs that we can do sports and stuff like that through the community. Nothing's set out because I'm still fundraising my salary. So once I'm fully funded, then I can spend actually more time focusing on the different ministries. But I am working quite a few hours, almost full time right now, with them on a volunteer basis until that my support is raised. A couple things that I want to share is one thing that really struck my heart is one of the things we do is we work with at-risk youth that are coming out of corrections. I had a chance to volunteer with them at Habitat for Humanity. There was one girl that was there volunteering. I got to talk with her. I got to share my passions because I grew up building houses. I was in construction for over 10 years. And to see life coming into her, she was, when she got there, she was like angry and she was just frustrated. And she knew about God. I shared a bit more about God, and she started seeing that she could actually do this. And at lunchtime, she's like, I'm going to stay, because it's a program that they are volunteer to be in after they leave. And she was supposed to be leaving that Friday, but she said, I'm going to stay on for another couple of weeks, and I'm going to come here every day, and I'm going to volunteer and learn what I can before she goes home. So she's been on my heart and someone that I've been praying for recently that's been going on. So a little bit about the calling. All my life, even before I was a Christian, I did youth stuff. When I was 12, I was a part of an LIT program, a leader in training program through the Y, when I was in care. They had me doing stuff like that. At schools, I always volunteered and helped out the children that were having more struggles with things like math and stuff like that. So I've always been involved in youth stuff even before I was a Christian. I became a Christian when I was 18 years old. From when I was 18, I worked at a camp called Circle Square Ranch, which isn't as known out in the Western area, but in Ontario, they have two locations, and I'd go up to the north one and fix their bikes and do mountain biking with them. And then in south, where I did more work with, I was actually a counselor, and I worked with all kinds of youth. And it was interesting because it seemed like they always put the hardest youth to deal with me. And one of the stories that I share quite a bit, because this kid was just an awesome kid. I saw myself in him. The very first night at camp, he was being rowdy, and he was just that kid that you just like, oh, would you just stop, right? Like, when's the energy gonna end? So I finally got to a point where I was like, okay, we need to talk. I said, come with me. So I left the cabin, and we sat out and we started talking. And first thing he said to me is like, you won't know anything about me. And I said, well, maybe not. Here, let me tell you about myself. So I told him my story about how I was in children's aid and being passed on by home to home and all the different things. And he started crying. I'm like, what's wrong? Like, did I say something wrong? And he's like, no, this is what's going on. And he poured out his life to me. Fortunately, he shared some stuff with me that he had never dealt with. And unfortunately, I had to report some of the stuff that he said. But he ended up getting help with it. And this is a kid that had been going to the camp for 5 years. He never lasted a week. They figured he would last 2 days with me. And they told me that right up front. Listen, you're going to have problems with him. Just be careful. Make sure that everybody else is safe. And then if he gets physical, then we'll have to send him home again. That week, he was the most improved camper for the week. He received awards for helping people out. It was amazing. And he gave his life to Christ. And it was just an amazing thing to see this broken, I'm going to call him a kid, because like this broken youth, just all of a sudden get life. So I have been doing stuff like this. I've been I ran a youth program at our church because we didn't have a youth pastor. We couldn't even afford to pay our pastor because we were a small church. So I volunteered my time to work with the youth. So this is where I've been going. They wanted me to be the youth pastor, but I was like, I didn't have the credentials to be a pastor. And, so that's where my calling has been. And it's always been working with youth. It's a passion of mine, working with youth, especially working with youth in child and family services, because I know how it feels to be on feeling like an outsider. Most people may not understand it, but when you're in child and family services, most people look at you as you've done something wrong or you're a bad kid. And to have people that actually care for you makes a huge difference. And I know that I've made a difference in kids' lives. So that's also part of the stuff that I will be doing with youth guidance is working with the youth in child and family services, in group homes, starting a mentoring program with churches to partner to mentor these youth and show them Christ's love in their lives. So that's, I won't go much more with that. I think I've covered most of what the questions have been. Some of the things that you can pray for. One is I'm still trying to raise funds so that I can be full-time. And because of child and family services, I can't do a lot with child and family services until I'm actually a full-time staff. So there's some of those things that are hindering me right now from doing everything that I could be doing with Youth Unlimited. So that's the main thing, is my funding is... it's coming, but it's not to where it needs to be so I can be full-time. The other thing you can pray for is that the youth. There's so many troubled youth. It's sometimes it's hard to know what's going on with them. So our youth... to pray for the youth that they see Christ's light in my life as I'm there. And Bernie's the other gentleman that works with me, but he's actually my boss. so that we can show Christ's light and love through our actions. On a daily basis. The last thing is, a lot of people may know that I had a concussion a couple months ago, and it's still really bad. And it's hard to focus on a lot of things, and so it's been a really big struggle. I do see somebody tomorrow again. It just seems like I keep going and seeing people, and they tell me the same thing, and it's been a struggle. It has. So pray that whatever God's plan is, that it would be revealed through the work that I'm doing as well. So I think that's it.
Good morning. Carol and I grew up with mission on our minds. We met in Bible school. As we got to know each other and dated and moved towards marriage, we tried to understand what the Lord would have in store for us as a couple. The message of the gospel, the example of those who had gone before us, and the encouragement of those who were near us were all instruments God used to direct our paths. Our journey in missions has taught and is teaching us many lessons. Lessons like the Lord is faithful in times of little and in times of much. Jesus wants people to enter the joy of his kingdom way more than we ever could. Growth as a disciple does not often happen with deep assumptions being challenged and changed by the Holy Spirit. Listen and watch for the Lord's direction, and he will give it in his time and in his way. The work that Carol and I have been involved in over the last 10 years has been supporting Interact Ministries, missionary staff, and volunteers in Western Canada. That's about 75 of us. We've tried to produce or to provide an administrative infrastructure which allowed them to focus their energies on sharing the gospel with people from First Nations, Muslim, and Sikh backgrounds. The gospel brings resurrection hope because it's about new life in Christ. Suffering, pain, isolation, worry, aimlessness, betrayal, injustice, and even difficult relationships come to be viewed through a different lens, a lens that gives some answers both for now and for eternity. Now, I say some answers because in the here and now, there will always be things we don't understand. Paul's second missionary journey started just as he had planned. Paul and his companions visited various communities that he and Barnabas had visited previously on their first journey teaching about Christ. And then we come to Acts 16, and we read that the Holy Spirit prevented them from preaching in the province of Asia. That was to the south of where they were. Nor were they allowed to go to the north, to Bithynia. The only way left for them was to travel straight west, with no deviation to the north or to the south. And they had no clue why this was all the Lord allowed them to do. So that's where they went, crossing over almost half of what we know today as the country of Turkey, by foot, donkey, or horse, probably something like 700 kilometers. And they had no idea where they were supposed to go and why. Now, you want to know the rest of the story? Read Acts 16, because there is more. But to me, this picture is both vivid and real. Hope in the midst of uncertainty. This is the message that is proclaimed by the elders in the First Nations Church near Loon Lake, Saskatchewan. This is the message given to Sikhs wanting to know how to follow God at the Punjabi Fellowship in Winnipeg. This is the message that comforts Christians from a Muslim background who have been isolated from families because of their faith. This is hope, not in the destination, but in the resurrected Christ who leads day by day. This is also hope for me and Carol as we face the unknown. For the past number of years, we have navigated internal tensions within the leadership structure of Interact Ministries. And these tensions came to a head this past week during some leadership meetings. And we find ourselves very much at odds with where Interact is being moved ideologically. So we ask you to pray not only for the gospel to take root in the lives of the unreached, but also to pray for me and Carol as we seek the Lord's direction for our future. Thank you.
You are there. I can hardly see over this. Anyway. ISMC was birthed here in Calgary from ISI, International Students Inc. in the U.S. It was March 1984. And the U.S. did not grant a couple who were willing to come here to start the ministry with visas for 1 year. Meanwhile, God was orchestrating some returning missionaries to Calgary who were wanting to be involved in ministry at home. As they were getting older and there was grandchildren coming in Canada and they wanted to be closer. And our head office was here in Calgary, up in northwest Calgary, and they asked for many churches here to volunteer. You know, there's a monthly information mailing that most missions start up when they're asking for donations and some involvement by people who might be interested. So that's it was there. They asked for donors, for helpers in all the churches. And in this church, Charlie said, if you're interested, you could go and volunteer at this place. And I said, okay. I went. It was there that I met many great mentors who guided my steps in my faith walk. Several of them encouraged me to join ISMC and as associate or career staff. And that is when I heard the call of God. I'd always wanted to help others, but what? I wasn't sure. And I was just a new Christian. So I started to volunteer in 1985. And I've done many of the positions that are now handled by a team of people. As our numbers were but a handful, all the work was done by the first volunteers and staff. In 1989, our first president, Paul Maxwell, asked Nick Gorlitz to take on the roles of candidate and field director. Nick happened to be seeing a lady right here in ACF named Ellen Burrell. Some of you old-timers will know who she is. We just lost Nick in November. And, he convinced her to marry him in July that 1989. And they started to travel around the Canada and U.S., trying to find new staff, candidating here, there, and everywhere. And field director, you're always on the road. In 1991, Nick and Ellen invited me to a welcome reception for new students arriving at U of C. I was matched with two Malaysian students that night. I was hooked. And believe me, I still am. I started to help at FOCUS, which stands for Friendship to Overseas College and University Students. At this date, I'm still there at FOCUS and lead a small Bible group class most Fridays and help where I can. In the year 2000, I applied for associate staff with ISMC and was later accepted. ISMC's vision statement is to empower international students impact the world through Jesus Christ. My personal wish is I want the students to embrace the resurrection and new life Jesus gave us when he died on the cross and rose again on the third day. In James 5:16, it says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I can read this. Do I have time? It's just short. For students returning home as believers to walk with the Lord, even as they are persecuted for their new faith and personal trials during re-entry into their culture. That's why a lot of the students remain here, because they don't want to go through that re-entry into their culture. So pray for them, that the ministry would be fruitful and honor God, and for the staff to be spirit-led as we share the gospel with boldness to unbelievers. Thank you.
Good morning. I can tell that Pastor Chris is a man of faith, because he hands the mic over to various and sundry individuals, not knowing how long will they actually take. I'm one of the worst offenders, probably. So thank you for your faith in us, Chris. So we had a few questions to answer here. Karen and I are going to answer them together and also individually. And so the first question that was asked of us is, tell us about the ministry you were involved with. So I kind of don't like labels. So I'm going to explain the fact that I just think, you know, these words like ministry and things, I like to just say, I think we're all just called to be passionate lovers of Jesus. And that out of that passion to know him and that we are experiencing, it should just bubble over to those around us. And for those of us who are up front here this morning, we just happen to be highlighted this morning, but we're in no way different or special than any one of you. In fact, we probably struggle as much, if not more, than many of you to know how to do these things. And when we fail, how to recover. When we see victory, how to express it. We are very average, normal people who have just met a risen Savior. So in that, ministry is, it's a lifestyle. It's not a job. It's not something we have to do to earn a check or to be somehow commended by someone. It's something we do because it's our life. It's who we now are. Most of what we do is born out of a love, or even a growing love, I'll say, for Muslim people, and including them in our meal times, in our special events, and in our recreational activities. We seek to build friendships with Muslim people and share the love and care and to share conversations about Jesus and the Bible and issues of faith. Additionally, we are also involved with the Canadian Network of Ministry to Muslims. We provide training, resources, and hopefully mobilizing others to partake in this work as well. I'll just make a quick note. We have some information out in the foyer area. If you'd like to talk to us, we would love to talk to you.
Okay, and the other sort of official ministry, if you will, that I'm involved with, where I spend most of my time, is at a place called the New Canadian Friendship Center. It's a little center up in the Northeast, and it exists to help newcomers to Canada by providing practical support and programs such as cooking classes, sewing, knitting, and exercise classes for ladies. Then we also have citizenship preparation classes. And the department that I'm most involved in is the ESL, or the English teaching program. And so through these programs, we invite those who are interested to join us into a healthy community, and through friendship with them to hopefully introduce them to Jesus.
The second question we were asked to answer was, how did you become involved in this ministry, and how did you hear God's call into it? Well, for me, it kind of just happened to me. Didn't really go looking for it. I've just happened to meet Muslim people at my place of work, on airplanes, conversations, in places of business, and it just hasn't seemed to stop. So I'm beginning to get the clue that something's happening to me. I've also traveled to the Middle East several times, which has also opened my eyes to see people who follow Islam. So many of them, the majority, have never opened a Bible or heard the basic truths about who Jesus is. They truly are an unreached people group. Many live very close to us as well, and many more even each and every day.
So my call to work with Muslims specifically goes back to 2004. I grew up in a little tiny farming community in Manitoba. I don't know if I'd ever even seen a Muslim in real life up until that point in my life. But I got invited to go on a short-term mission trip to the Middle East, and it completely changed my life. God just gave me such a love and such a burden for this people group that I've never, ever been the same since. And 6 months after that mission trip, I felt like God was challenging me to live or to leave my comfortable life in Manitoba and to move to the Middle East. So I spent 10 years living overseas. And then in 2005, I felt like God was asking me to come back to Canada, actually, and to invest in the people here. There had been so many people immigrating to Canada, and I just felt like he was wanting me to now come back here and to invest in those who had moved to Canada. And when I moved overseas, I felt like God was challenging me to kind of be like a bridge between the East and the West, the Muslims and the Christians. And so in coming back here, that I should kind of be the other side of that bridge and to, yeah, be kind of a bridge between them, but on this side of the world. When I moved back to Canada, I felt like God really gave me a desire to help newcomers, the refugees, the immigrants, as they settled into a new way of life here in Canada, navigating the language, the customs, the practical issues, and everything that comes from moving into a new country. Having lived in two countries outside of Canada myself, I knew what that felt like, to be lost and alone and totally overwhelmed and confused. And so I wanted to use my understanding and experiences to help them in some way, to help some of the people who have moved here. So in short, this is how I got involved in the ministry at the New Canadian Friendship Center. It was a safe place that welcomed and helped new people to Canada, but with the more important goal of also sharing Jesus with these people, many who have never heard of him. It felt like the perfect place for me to get involved with. It lined up with my desires and experiences that God had given me and gave me a venue to serve, to love, and to share with the newcomers to Canada.
The next question was, how does this ministry you're involved with create resurrection hope or new life for the people it reaches? Have you spent any time with people of an Islamic background in faith conversations? You will find out that there is no assurance of salvation or peace with God. You cannot know if God is ever completely pleased with you. It is a distant, distant reality and hope in a fatalistic God who might be happy with you. In fact, a gentleman I'm having conversations with right now, when I spoke of my eternal destiny and my hope and my peace, he looked to me and said that actually that was an arrogant attitude. One could not ever claim to have that. So resurrection is assurance for these people that they can have that. Islam is also a religion of works and striving and doing the right things enough times to try to be good enough for God. There's a bondage that people live in, trying to somehow please God and do all the right things long enough and enough times. The resurrection frees us from the law and its requirements. And now we can approach God by grace and through faith, and not by striving to have to do. This past Sunday, we had a large number of people over to our house for Easter dinner. Karen's family was there. We also invited some people from, who have moved here somewhat recently from Syria, and also a family from Yemen. And at our meal, I took the opportunity after we prayed to discuss the Easter message. And because I know the buttons to push, I spoke of how all our righteousness is like filthy rags and that only Christ can take the place. And we wrapped up DVDs of the Jesus video and gave them as gifts to our friends and to our acquaintances. There were many deep and, long conversations about Islam and Christianity that followed. And these are people who strive to please God in some way, but yet are missing him. We heard stories of how you don't know if you got the right pair of pants on to go pray, or if your daughter soiled your shirt, if you have to change it before you can go pray, or if maybe you need to go shower now before God will be happy with you so you can go pray to him. Thank God that the resurrection enables us to approach God by faith and by grace.
So just a few prayer requests. We would love for you to pray for breakthroughs in the lives of the people that we work with, that they would really experience and know Jesus in a very profound way, that they would experience the freedom that is found only in him. We'd also ask that you pray that God would continue to lead us to Muslims who are open and who are searching for truth. There's a lot that just at this point aren't interested, but that God would really lead us to those that are interested, that are looking, that want to connect with someone who knows the truth. And then also, if you want to pray for us, financial provision, for protection, for strength and encouragement in this work, and for wisdom in our work, and also as we figure out how to balance our time. Thank you. Oh, just another quick plug. If anyone is ever interested in coming to sit in on an English class at our center, just to see what we're all about, what we do, you would be more than welcome. So feel free to contact me if you'd ever like to do something like that.
Good morning. It is a great privilege to be able to share with you what God is doing through a few people here at Abbeydale Christian Fellowship who are sharing an opportunity for children on the other side of the globe to have resurrection hope. And at the same time, they're experiencing God's love through receiving food and clean water and education. When I began my journey that led me to Liberia, I was not thinking in the context of this being a church ministry. I was simply thinking, God has given me a limited amount of financial resources. I need to know what the best thing is that I can do with this. I knew that Romans chapter 12, verse 8, says that speaks of the gift of giving. And I know that if I live in Canada and if I have at least an average income and if I am a believer, then I probably have the gift of giving. I mean, I also knew that the Bible talks of God using the jawbone of a donkey a couple of times, but I really wasn't convinced that I had any speaking gifts. Found that in many places in the New Testament, it spoke of our Christian life as being a race. And we read of how we're in a battle and we're putting on the army of on the armor of God. And we're to be a living sacrifice. So to me, that means I need to be intense. I need to be focused. I need to be strategic about how I use the limited resources that God has given to me. So I began looking like, what does the Bible have to say about this? So when the Corinthian people were instructed in 2 Corinthians 8 to be economically equal with the Macedonian people, they're like more than 500 kilometers away. They're very poor. They're desperate, but they're probably not necessarily the poorest people. But they are the believers. They're people that were an obligation to them. So I figured, okay, who are the poorest Christians in the world? And so I found that in Liberia, they had 75% Protestant Christian. At that time, they were 14th from the bottom on the Human Development Index. Today, they're down to 12th, mostly because of the Ebola issue that happened to them. I found that they're third from the bottom. There's like 188 countries that usually get compared. Third from the bottom in GDP per capita. There's only 59% of children ages 6 to 11 attending school. Furthermore, I noticed that across West Africa, the age for sexual consent is lower than throughout most other regions in the world. And so these teenagers are more vulnerable than other teenagers in the world. So in February 2014, I went to Liberia. I met up with a man that was in charge of a very small school, 53 students. They were theoretically self-supporting, but their teachers were not getting enough to have adequate nutrition. The students also are coming to school malnourished. They had an open well that was routinely getting contaminated with surface water. So we, of course, they didn't have any food program. We immediately got them set up with the Great Commission Foundation that's able to provide receipts so that charitable donations can be provided. We initially got them on to two meals a week, eventually sent them a well with a submersible pump and a pressure vessel. So in the past 3 months, February to March, we're feeding 250 children three times per week. And of these 250 kids, 126 of them would not have been able to attend any school at all if it wasn't for their fellow believers here at Abbeydale Christian Fellowship providing those financial resources for them. To me, this is what it means as we help these children develop spiritual depth. That is providing resurrection hope. So my prayer requests are, number one, Joseph Johnson is extremely sick right now. He's been sick for a number of weeks. He's not able to do the bookkeeping. He's the only one that's been doing, handling the bookkeeping for the Great Commission Foundation. So until he's able to recover and we're able to do that, we can't send the next transfer of money to them. And the second request is that in the interior of Liberia, there's a very lovely agricultural area that people should be able to thrive. But nonetheless, we're seeing how people are malnourished. There's serious medical problems. There, the spiritual leadership is not there. And I want to be able to be a catalyst to see change in that region. And I just need prayer for guidance to know what to do. Thank you very much.
Hi. So you have just heard some pretty amazing things of how God is working in our community and around the world, and that's pretty amazing. So the promise of Scripture is that God calls us to go. And so through his Spirit that we would have that sense of leading and purpose and to teach and to minister. And I just want to encourage you all to hear, to have opportunities to hear God working through you and in you, whatever that might be. And I love how Pastor Chris had talked to the kids about doing that too, to open up to your friends at school. So is God calling you? Absolutely he is. So God draws us to serve him in ministry. And so, again, just praying for encouraging, for opportunities to share your story. It can be just like that. Or how God is working in you and how his resurrection has changed your life. So just want to encourage you to encourage others in where you are in your life.
Not all of us are called to such specific work in ministry. Many of us will serve God as we work here. Nonetheless, we know that there are individuals around us who do not know God and do not know peace. We also know that God's call on our lives to love our neighbor as ourselves applies no less fully or directly to all of us. This is the work we are all called to each and every day. With this in mind, as well as our current vision statement that talks about making room in our lives and our calendar for discipleship and hospitality, the Outreach Committee and church leadership, I guess. I don't know what to say. Anyway, this is our challenge, simply to continue to get to know our neighbors where we are. We all live and work near people to whom we may be a light. So I'm not very good at this, but I hope that we all begin by introducing ourselves. Say hi, wave, smile. And then slowly, maybe take them some baking, shovel their walk, invite someone over for coffee, let yourself be invited for coffee, have a fire in the backyard. Whatever it is, let us create opportunities for kindness, for love, for relationships to grow, so that we can bring our new friends into the life of the church and nearer to God. May we simply begin by getting to know our neighbors.
We are going to pray a prayer of response. We have heard from many who have, from this deep love of Jesus, it has changed their life and has gotten them all sorts of ways into reaching out in Jesus' name to others around us. I was making a list of the ways you've been called. Angie, by a call for volunteers, just being willing to serve. Karen, by going on a missions trip. Doug, by God consistently placing people in your life and kind of waking up and saying like, oh, maybe this should be something. And Paul, by studying scripture and seeing what God asks us to do. There are many ways that we are called. We hope that maybe you have heard some ways that you have been called today of something that's stirring in you, this desire to take the love you know of Jesus and to share it with those around you. And you've heard from our missions chair, Christina, and our outreach chair, David, of other ways of joining in. And we want to be a congregation that is a place for folks like you've heard this morning to come and be nourished so they can go do the work they have, that they can come and be a part of us here so that we can send them out. And so we are going to pray for, again, for our missionaries, but also for David and Christina as they challenge us and guide us to reach out in mission and outreach to those around us. So let us pray. Amazing God, rescuer and redeemer, forgiver and reconciler, peacemaker and hope bringer, you are love. And we know your love because of Jesus and his death and his resurrection. We have heard many ways of how you get through to us, to keep urging us on to reaching out from what we have received from you. Help us to listen. Help us to have our hearts and ears open. Spirit, open our eyes that we may see, as David has challenged us, how we can know those around us. That we will make room in our homes, in our lives, in our calendars for discipleship and hospitality. And from this richness we have in you, O Lord, that we would, like Christina has said, reach out to the lost and the broken with the good news of Jesus. Lord, some of us, that will mean that we support and pray here. For some of us, maybe you are calling us to get involved and to follow in their footsteps. And for some of us, there may be a specific call, a call to a specific ministry that is dawning in one of our hearts or our minds. Spirit, we are listening. Speak. Give us the strength and the faith to walk, knowing you are with us, though we do not know where this might end up. And we pray for Christina and for David as well, as they lead us and encourage us and challenge us in these ways. Thank you for their ministry here. And as we go to eat together, soup and bun, that around those tables again, that we might, in our conversation, hear your call. And that in that fellowship and from this love, that we would go from this place equipped, refreshed, filled, full of you, so that we may share you with those around us. Amen.